We are studying about healings and miracles and prayers of the saints of God. Up to now we learn our God is a prayer answering God. Only obstacle comes in the prayer, sin of the people, disobedient to God, or we are not walking according to the word of God. That's the time God doesn't listen our prayer. We studied from Genesis to 2 Kings. We learned last week about King Hezekiah. God heard his prayer. Then we heard God heard the prayer of Isaiah. We were going to start another book, but in between there is a small subject, but the people wrote so many books on that subject. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. This is only two verses.
And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested.
Okay, now it's a simple prayer. When this Jabez was born, his mother starts saying, you know, I gave him a birth in pain and sorrow or whatever her condition was, just like a Benjamin was born and his mother was saying the same thing. But he might have some other brothers and sisters. But this man was a God-fearing man, honorable man. And so he might be thinking, even though my mom or other people do not give me that respect, and I'm nobody to them, I came into this world to give sorrow and pain to somebody, but my God can change it. That's the way we have to believe. Because so many times people hear the negative things. Their children, sometimes people will say, you are so dumb, you will never be good, you will never do anything good. And the children keeps in their mind, and then they say, okay, I'm not good, so they start doing bad things. We always should say something good about our children, our grandchildren, or anybody. Negative things should not be in our mouth. But this lady, somehow she used some negative words. Might be that was hurting him. But when he was in his age, he could talk to God. And he said to God, you know, I have a request. And he asked God, expand my borders and bless my handiwork or whatever he was going to do. And the word of God says, God heard his prayer and supply his needs, whatever he wanted to do, and expand his work or ministry. Whatever our desires are, he will give. He says, delight in the Lord and he will give the desires of your heart. So when the person delights in the Lord, then God gives the desires of the person's heart. We don't know much about this Jabez, but we learned one thing, that he was honorable man, means people gave respect to him even though his parent didn't give. The Bible says the prophet is not honored in his own family, own house. They see that person every day. It's not a big thing. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but his brothers and sisters did not respect him until the resurrection. Before that, they were trying to get rid of him. But here the word of God is saying the man was God-fearing, delighting the Lord, and that's why God heard his prayer. It's a simple word. I'm not going to expand and make another book on that subject. if our life is not right in the sight of God, God doesn't listen our prayer. Now we are going to go to book of Jeremiah, starting from chapter 1, verse 4.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
they said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, that means Jeremiah is saying, the God's word came to me.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Now here the word of God is saying to the Jeremiah, this man was not even born. He was in the mother's womb. And God says, I already called you, I already ordained you, and I already made you a prophet. Now today, if the ladies who are not saved, or even the Christians, if they knew this scripture, they won't be doing abortions. They won't be killing their babies. Because each and every child is precious in the sight of God. And so here, God is trying to tell Jeremiah, I have called you before you were born. And we read in the Ephesians, he says, God has ordained us before the foundation of the world. It's very important when somebody has a child or in the womb, talk to the child, pray for the child, and let the child grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. My both children, before they were born, we prayed for them.
Then said I, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child.
Now here, just like Moses, so he was finding excuse. God said, okay, I'll bring the Aaron, and he will be your mouthpiece, or he will be your spokesperson. But here, this man also saying, I'm a child. I don't know what age he was, but maybe he's a teenager or a young man. And when the people in the early age, everybody, they get scared of doing anything. When Philip was 3 years old, we encourage him to preach. So he would go to the pulpit, not pulpit, the stairway, and there is the end of the stairway, you'll keep the book, and I say, okay, let's read the Bible. And after reading, I say, what did you learn from this? And tell us what you understood. And each time he said, Daddy, when am I going to preach in the church? I say, when you are 7 years old. But there are people, they might be in their 30s, in their 40s. And when God calls them, they say, well, I'm afraid, I cannot do it. When God called me, I was not 7 years or something like that. I was in my early 20s. And they gave me the church to minister, like 80 years, 90 years old believers. And they said, go and minister to that church. When I was thinking, I said, I'm too young. Then one of the ministers gave me the scripture. I said, read the scripture. Okay, let's read verse 7.
But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
Now, God says, don't say that I'm a child. Wherever I send you, you go. Whatever I tell you to do, do. And that should be the children of God's desire. Because we are not alone. When God tells you to do, do it. But just like Jeremiah, I said, you know, I'm too young to handle this big church and having older people than me. They are 80s and 40s and 50s and they know much more Bible than me. How can I go? And somebody gave me these scriptures. When I read it, I said, that's it. I'm not going to worry. And then some people gave me some other advice, but this scripture spoke to me. I got a courage. And when I went there in that church, they had one pastor and three assistants. And when I went, I was alone and no assistants. But by the grace of God, God did so many signs and wonders in that place, and we even bought the bigger building than what the building they had. And so point I'm making, we have to trust in God. Let's read a couple of more verses.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
See, people are afraid to look at somebody. And so he said, don't afraid of their faces. Sometimes when you're preaching, you know, and some people don't like your preaching and they start doing something, funny faces or show you something like this, and the preacher gets scared. When I was preaching in one place and there was a one person standing in the haystack, on the top of the haystack, and I'm standing here and he had the knife and the people are trying to give me some signal. I don't know what they were talking about. But while preaching, I'm going back and forth and like this. And when I moved, that person fell on, you know, in front of my face. And then he took his knife and started running. The point I'm making, the Word of God is saying, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. Look at their faces. They are for you. They are against you. Whatever. You just do what God has called you to do. And I learned a lot to be bold, not to be afraid of anyone because of these scriptures. Look at verse 9.
Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Amen. But he wanted some kind of assurance. So God put his hand on his mouth and now said, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Now you go and do. And what kind of work he told him to do? Let's read the verse 10.
See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
See what he's trying to say. Oh, am I going to build some nations, or I'm going to build some road or highway or this and that? He knew if they do something wrong, you root it out and plant some good seed in their hearts. That's what God was trying to say. And so we are here. The devil is doing all kinds of things in our heart, in our mind. But man of God has to come and tell them what is truth, what is right, and what is wrong. And we have to root out the wrong things. Now, sometimes somebody comes and says, please pray for me. And the man of God just lay hand and pray and go. Sometimes it will work, sometimes may not work. But we have to root it out, find out why this caused the sickness, what is the root of this sickness. And when you find it out and then you pray, you're rooting out that bad seed and then putting the seed of God in that person's heart, then the people will change. And so that's what God was trying to say to Jeremiah. Now, we are not talking about the Jeremiah here. We are talking about how God prepare you and how we have to listen to the Word of God and how we have to pray and how God answers the prayer. Now here, Jeremiah's life, if you start reading or studying, is so difficult life. And whatever he was preaching, people were not paying attention. So Jeremiah got frustrated. Let's read the chapter 9, verse 1.
Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people.
See, oh, that my head may be the waters and my eyes a fountain of waters, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. What is his desire? He's saying, you know, I just want to cry. And so much I want to cry, but when you cry too much, what happens? You ran out of tears. Tears cannot come. And so you keep on, nothing happens. Some people feel good when they cry. They send tears and they feel good. But at the same time, you got sinus problem. You can get sickness and you are so depressed. Your bones get aching and you can catch a disease. And sometimes you can die. Too much crying. If somebody dies in somebody's family, husband or wife, and they keep on crying for that person day and night, they might die within 3 months or less. The Word of God says, merry heart is works like a best medicine. But if they start crying and weeping, they will destroy their life and they might die. Jeremiah didn't know that. And if your head is a water, you will not have any brain. You know, somebody has too much water in their head, That's a disease. But he is frustrated. He said, I want to cry for my people. Some people get frustrated. Some pastor get burned out. And then they kill themselves or they quit the ministry and don't work. Why? Because they don't have calling. If you have a calling from the Lord, you're not looking for people, how many people are did today and how many more people came and how many people left and how much money coming and how much money going. You're not looking at that. You're looking at God. God has called me and I'm serving the Lord. And if that kind of attitude minister has, then they will not going to cry like Jeremiah crying and asking God, give me more tears so I can cry day and night because he knows that something wrong with my people and they are not listening, they are having in trouble. Okay, let's read from verse 23 and 24, same chapter.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth.
What God wants? God is saying the people who are living in this earth, they should not be thinking they are living for themselves. Money, fame, the worldly treasures, worldly things, that is not the reason God has kept us here. We have to think, the Word of God says, who is wise? The Word of God says, who wins the soul, that person is wise. That means we are living in this world, we are not living for us, we are living for God, winning souls for Christ, leading people to the Lord. And that's what our life is all about. Let's read chapter 10, starting from verse 19.
Woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken, my children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered.
Okay, now this word used here, pastors, at the shepherds, the who are serving the Lord. So the pastor has to put center God in his mind, not the people. When we are called by God, we are serving the Lord, and then we are serving the people because of Lord. And some people, they try to hold on to the member. Doesn't matter what they do. Whatever they do, that's okay. You're smoking, that's okay. You're drinking, that's okay. You do adultery, that's okay. Everything is okay, and you try to keep them together. But in the sight of God, they are not together. And there is a saying, you can please one person 99 times. And if you don't please him one time, they get mad. Paul is saying, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, if I'm pleasing a man, I'm not a servant of God. So we are not here to please people. We have to please God. Okay, I'll start reading from verse 23 to 25. Just keep them up.
O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing.
So he's thinking, the other people are making mistake and he is like a mediator. He is saying, Lord, all these people are doing wrong thing, but people are people. Nobody is perfect. We are all sinners. And that's the way some people are thinking. We are all sinners. Nobody is perfect. So we are going to make mistakes. That is not Christianity. Christianity is like this. I'm a sinner. I came to Jesus, he washed me with his precious blood, now I'm a child of God. And now I'm not going to live the way I used to live. That the sinful man is dead. Now I have Christ in me and I'm living by the grace of God. That's the Christianity. Some people think that these people are bad, they cannot live a good life. So what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, Lord, I cannot tell these people to change their life. Bless them, whatever they are. God is not going to do that. Because if God says to Moses, if you remember, this generation is like a stiff neck. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses said, no, 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 you destroy me. I don't want you to destroy them. So God says, okay, whoever commits sin, I will destroy them. God was going to destroy them in one time. So what happened? It took 40 years, but all the rebellious people died in the wilderness. He was going to kill them anyhow, but it took a longer time, and he killed them all anyhow. Sometimes when God says these wicked people should change, and if they don't change, then the punishment comes. Go to the chapter 11 and start reading from verse 11 to 14.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and where they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them.
See, now he says, if these people do not listen to me, something evil will come upon them. They will be having problem. Maybe they go to the captivities or more sickness. This is more problem will come, because God gives warning after warning after warning. And when the people don't listen, and then something happens, and they say, why this happened to me? But God already gave the warning. When they're not listening to God, and they're going to a foreign gods, or Baal god, or idols, how God is going to bless these people? You remember the Saul, we just studied. When Saul was not doing according to the will of God, so he goes to the priest, priest doesn't answer him. He goes to the prophet, prophet doesn't answer him. And so he goes to the soothsayer and the witchcraft person, and thinking that God will speak to him or bless him. So what happened? He got killed. Not only killed, went to hell. God is telling Jeremiah, I don't want you to pray for these people. Let's read the verse 14.
Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or a prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble.
See, God is saying, they are going to pray, I'm not going to listen, and you better not pray for them. Now, sometimes some people say, you know, pray for this person, pray for that person. And sometimes I feel in my spirit, why I should pray for that person? That person doesn't want to listen. That person doesn't want to repent. That person doesn't want to come to the Lord. Paul says to those kind of people, give them to Satan. And it feels bad. Why the man of God is saying, give that person to Satan? Because they are not listening. So God gives us so many chances. But sometimes the person's heart is hardened. And God knows now this person is not going to change. So he said, I'm not going to listen to their prayer, and please, you don't pray for them, and I'm not going to listen to their prayer. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verse 9, it says, if the person doesn't want to listen to God, and they don't obey God, their prayer is abomination. He that turneth away his ear from the hearing the law, means the commandments or God's will, even his prayer shall be abomination. You don't listen to my word. You don't listen to the word of God. Why should I listen to your prayer? He said, your prayer is abomination. And somebody says, but I cry to God and I repented. The word of God says, what kind of repentance? Verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Means, if somebody comes to God and doesn't want to recognize he's a sinner and try to say, I'm a good person, I didn't do anything wrong. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. If you need a God's mercy, he said, not only confessing sins, forsaking, giving up. That means if somebody was doing something and he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And then God said, okay, you confess that you are wrong. Okay, don't do it again. And then God will have mercy. Do you know that lady was caught in the adultery and brought to Jesus? And these people were saying, we want to stone her. And so this is the what Mosaic law say, what you say. He said, okay, whoever didn't commit sin, throw the first stone. So everybody start thinking their sins and they went away. The lady was alone there and Jesus said, you know, where are those people? They said, they left, they didn't condemn me. He says, I'm not condemning you also. Now somebody says, when Jesus says, I'm not condemning you, that means Jesus approved what she was doing. No, he was not saying that. He said, you are already condemned. I don't have to condemn you. You know what you have done. But Jesus says, I'll tell you one thing. Go in peace. Sin no more. He did not give her a license to sin because I say, okay, you're okay. Now you go and do all whatever you are doing. That was not the license. He said, go in peace, sin no more. So that's the way Christianity is. When we are sinners, we cannot change our life. When we come to Jesus, and when we say, Lord, we are a sinner, please forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, give us a new life, He will do. Some people teaching, you just say, Jesus, come into my heart, Jesus comes in your heart, and all other things, you don't have to ask anything. If you smoke, that's okay. If you drink, that's okay. If you beat your wife, that's okay. If you gamble, that's okay. If you rob the bank, that's okay. As long as Jesus is in your heart. Doesn't work. If Jesus is inside of you, He is not going to allow you to do all of those things. The Satan is in your heart. He is the king of your life. That's why you're doing all things. When Jesus comes in, devil goes out. Then you do according to the will of God. With the word of God saying, if you start covering your sin, you will not have mercy. You confess, forsake your sins, put it away, then God's mercy will come. And so here, in the book of Jeremiah, we learn certain things. When God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayer, but you keep on telling them until they change. Their heart has to change. Go to the Jeremiah chapter 17 and start reading from verse 5.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord.
See, who is the cursed man? The man trusteth in a man. See, we have to learn not trusting any man. We have to trust in God. Each and every problem comes, people run to people. I'm not saying we should not. But you know, when you have sickness, go to doctor first. When you have problem, call the lawyer. When you have some kind of problem, you go to somebody else. The word of God says, call upon me and I'll answer you. We have to go to God when you have problem. But people trust on people. When you, Psalm 118, it says, do not trust any man. Do not trust any king. Trust in the Lord. So he said, if you start trusting a man, you'll be like a cursed person. Okay.
For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and when inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is.
There was a child in India, and he had a bad swollen neck. He had some kind of tumor. And I prayed for that child, means he was a teenager. And God instantly healed him. And then I got a boil on my neck. Maybe why happened, I don't know. That time my wife was already in a cancer hospital. So what the devil is saying, don't worry. You're going to USA. Your wife is in a cancer hospital. And that thing can be, you know, be done. When that thought came, that thing started growing and growing. And so I came to know, I am trusting in the man. And so I rebuked that thought and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I am already believing in healing and miracles. Why this thought came to me that I should go to America and my wife works in a cancer hospital and then she will give me some kind of medicine or something, or surgery or something. When that thought I rebuked, instantly I got healed. After that, so many problems came. One time, a tongue swollen, and I could not eat or drink for 27 days. And so somebody started telling me, you have a tongue cancer, and you can go to the doctor. I said, no, I'm not going. And God healed me. It's a long story, but I'm cutting it short. And so point I'm making, I learned to trust in God. Now, since 1956 until today, do you know how many years? Over 52 years now. I never went to the doctor. I never took any medicine. And so I learned to trust in God. So that's what the Word of God is saying. We have to keep our hope in God and trust in God. Okay, read verse 9.
For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
See, this is the same thing we read in Psalm 1 verse 3. The person who is in the Lord, he says, his life will be just like a tree planted by the riverside. And he says, everything that man does, read that verse, Psalm 1, verse 3 also. So, but in Psalm 1, it given like a verse 1 and 2, who delights in the Lord, who doesn't walk according to the sinful people, don't sit with them, don't talk with them, don't mingle with them. If that person, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. And same thing is saying in the book of Jeremiah. We should trust in God. God is our source of supplies. When we live in God, he says, his leaf will not be withered. What is the leaf the man has? In the tree where the green leaves, Jesus went to the tree finding some fruit. The green leaves is the sign of health and prosperity. That's what the in America say, you have green thumb. Green thumb is a prosperity. And so he says, not only that, God will make you so prosperous, so the people are going to see from far you are prosperous in the land. And whatever you do, it will prosper. Okay, let's go back to Jeremiah. I'm reading from verse 9. Chapter 17, and we read up to... Okay, 9. Go ahead, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the Word of God says, man's heart is so wicked. And he said, who can know it? Who will know your heart? Only God knows. So Word of God says, when your heart condemns you, you have no confidence or good conscience towards God. When the heart they condemn, they don't want to go to church. If the child makes mistakes, they don't want to see father coming home. And so when we make mistake, we don't want to face God. That's why people are running away from God. When they want to commit sin, I don't want to go to church. Because those people pointing out your sins. Your heart is deceitful. Not a single person has victory over their heart. Only God has. God has created you and God can change it. So what you have to do is that God knows your heart. So instead of running away from God, run towards God. God knows better how to fix it. Let's read the following verse.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by rights, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from thee shall be ridden in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise.
See, now he says only God knows your heart. When you have problem, come to God. And what he says, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. So, in short, the word of God is saying, when you have a problem, don't run away from God, come to God. And just like children, when they have a problem and they don't come to mom or dad for their answers, they get into more problems. And we see some of the children get rebellious, run away from mother and father, thinking, if I go somewhere, I'll be better. What happened? They go out, they become more prostitute or robbers and get into more problems. Then they start thinking, you know, in my mother's house and father's house, they can slap me, but I would get food, they would correct me, but I was in good condition, just like a prodigal son. When he went away from mother and father and thought, I can do everything, I have money and I can do business and I'll do everything. Well, what happened? He rebelled against mother and father and went out and became a beggar and started eating from pig's pan or pig's food. And then he comes to his senses. He said, I'll go to my father and I'll say, I sin against God and against you, and I'm not worthy to be or your son. Keep me as a servant. That is a real repentance. That's what the word of God says. God is the only one can heal our sickness, our disease, our spiritual disease, our mental disease, our physical disease, and every disease God can heal. But we have to come to Him. But when you come to Him, how do you come? Come with a repentant heart. Say, Lord, please forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, heal me, and I will be doing your will. And one more point and I'm going to stop it. And now Jeremiah prayed and God says, listen, don't pray for these people. I'm not going to listen to your prayer. What they have to do, they have to come to me. They have to change their heart. I'm going to give them a new heart, but they have to come to me. 18th chapter and verse 1 to 6. God says to Jeremiah, I'll take you to the potter's house and go and see what potter is doing. And the potter was making a pottery. And whatever he was doing, it didn't come properly. So he took that clay, marred it again and start putting in the wheel and start making the vessel. So what happens? Here he says, the potter has the pot in his mind. I mean, he's making and it's not coming according to that what he wants, then he will take that clay and try to make it again. And so the word of God says, you are just like the pot in potter's hand. So if I can change the pot the way I want it, why can't you stay in my hand so I can change you? That's why God is saying. God took a clay, you remember, and made a man. But that man didn't do according to the will of God. So what God did, took the same clay and made another person. Who is that? Jesus. To make a new vessel out of Jesus, he crucified him. And when Jesus Christ was buried and came out of the grave, he came like a new man. That man was never exist. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. He says, if any man in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, old things are passed away, behold, all things became new. How it happened? Jesus Christ, if he didn't die, and Jesus Christ never resurrected, then we will not have the new life. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, same clay, he made a new man out of it. That was Jesus Christ, when he came out of the grave as a new man, Son of God. And that's why we got that kind of life. So what word of God is saying, keep your life in my hand and I will change it. So what the word of God is saying, we have to give our life in the hand of God. He says, I am the potter, you are the clay, you cannot make yourself proper, only potter can do. The same way our body, have something wrong or sickness, disease, And we go to the somebody, that person who is not saved, who is not born again, and he gives one medicine and doesn't work, and he gives another medicine, doesn't work. Like that lady came to Jesus. She went to the doctor for how many years? 12 years. She had the issue of blood. But the word of God says she spent everything what she had. She went to every doctor in the town. Instead of getting better, she became worse. So finally she said, I'm going to go to Jesus. She recognized he is the one creator. He can fix it. And as soon as she touched the garment of Jesus Christ, she was healed. So it's a simple Christian life based on faith. We trust in God, not in anybody else. And God can fix any problem. But the point I'm making, our God is a good God. Our God is a prayer answering God. Sometimes when the person is not listening and you start praying, if somebody is not listening, do not want to do anything according to the word of God, our prayer is going to be in vain. Somebody tells you, are you going to church? Oh, pray for me. Why don't you come to church? Oh no, I don't have time. You have to say then, you know what? My prayer is not going to answer. You have to come to the Lord and God will answer your prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. And so, Lord Jesus, you are the potter and we are the clay. We want to give our lives into your hands so you can fix it, whatever the wrong is, and you can make us worthy for you and for your service. We just read, when we live according to your will, our life will be like a green plant. Bring the fruits in seasons. The leaves will not wither, and whatever we do, it will prosper. I pray for your people. Bless them, O Lord, and supply their needs. And give us grace to reach out to somebody and guide them to Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus is the answer for all our problems. Lord Jesus, we commit our bodies, our souls, and our spirits into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.